Good evening, everyone. Nice to hear just a bit of joy and a bit of life in the place. Want to give you a warm welcome to the carol service here at Abbots Cross in 2016. Each year it kind of seems just to go faster each year. The time seems to fly by, but we're going to take a big deep breath in. Do that with me. Take a big deep breath in. Don't forget to breathe it out. And so maybe it's been stressful. You've been running around Abbey Centre fighting with people to get the last size 10 of those slippers to give on Christmas morning. Maybe just getting all the food ready. Maybe just the preparations have been getting to you. But here we have a chance just to focus ourselves. Here we have a chance to quiet ourselves and to cast our eyes out from our circumstances and up as we remember him who was born at Christmas time. So we're going to start the service just in a word of prayer, in silence, and just as I pray and as I lead us in prayer, just you yourself speak to the Lord and just embrace him tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the chance to gather together here tonight. We do thank you, Father, that in a week's time we will gather again to remember and to celebrate the Savior who was born, the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world. And Father, we do just reflect even on the busyness and maybe on the stress and maybe on just the different circumstances that have been going on. And Father, we just set them to the side. And we just focus our hearts on you here in this place tonight. And we ask, Father, that we, each one of us, you know our circumstances, you know our situations. We ask just that each one of us would hear something from you tonight. And as we sing carols, that we would know something of the joy of knowing Christ in our hearts tonight. Father, there is much to be joyful about. There is much to rejoice in. There's much to thank you for. And so just we ask that this service tonight, Lord, would be filled with praise to Jesus Christ tonight. We ask it in his wonderful name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our first carol. It is Joy to the World. It is one that is rousing. It is one that you have to smile when you sing. And it is one, unfortunately, that you have to stand when you're going to sing. So if health permits, if you'd stand, now we'll start with 146, Joy to the World. Thank you very much. Sing now is Silent Night, and again, it's great to have Laura Ashley here with us singing tonight again, helping just to cover up maybe how I would mislead you astray. And so we're going to remain seated and sing this one again and worship the Lord. Thank you. extra verse for that one, but it was beautiful at the end. And so we are, we're really blessed this morning as well with Stepping Stones. The children and the leaders had a wonderful time at the front with reading verses from Scripture about the nativity scene and being wonderfully dressed up and singing. And so tonight it's the turn of some of the older young folk of the church. And so we're going to ask for the youth fellowship, the Alpha group and the Omega group to come up and join us now. And so they have two pieces to sing. Come on, guys, don't be shy. And so they've been practicing. They're not an official choir. You will not find their CD for sale at the back, unless you're willing to pay big money, and then we can maybe sort something out for you. But we're going to invite them to come up. And just on behalf of the Youth Fellowship, and just to the body of the church as well, wanted to say just Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. They're thrilled just being a part of the church, and hope that these two pieces are a blessing to your heart tonight. Thank you.
And
It's great, not just tonight, but for the next week or so, to have Stephen and Heather Cuthbert home with us as well, over from New Tribes in England. And so even better to have Heather come up and sing for us tonight as well. And so we'll invite Heather just to come and bring your own piece now. Thank you.
Baby's first cry, and into our midnight a heavenly song whispers that hope is alive. Oh, joy to the world on this holy night. So sing with the angels that fill up the sky. Heaven broke through and now hope is alive. He is right here among us. Our God is with us tonight. And hope is alive. Oh, 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 oh. Out in the stable beneath the bright stars, the young mother is holding her son. Oh, the beauty of feeling the beat of God's heart. It tells us that we're not alone. Oh, our Emmanuel has come. So sing with the angels that fill up the sky. Heaven broke through and now hope is alive. He is right here among us. Our God is with us tonight. And into our aching, into our breaking, into our longing to be made whole, your arms are reaching, your love is holding us close. And into our suffering, into our weeping, into this need we have to be known, your arms are reaching, your love is holding us close. So sing with the angels that fill up the sky. Those in the shadows have seen a great light. He is right here among us. Our God is with us tonight. And hope is alive. Hope is alive.
Thank you very much, Heather. Hope is alive because our God is here with us tonight. And it is what we celebrate. It is why we're gathered here tonight. It is why there is a building at this particular place on the Doak Road. And the reason is because hope is alive in Jesus Christ. I wonder if you know that yourself personally. But anyway, last weekend was a fun day. It was a tiring day for me. And that's because the Stepping Stones, the children's ministry in the church, had an outing to the Transport Museum and the Folk Park at Cultraw. And so they had their Christmas celebrations there. The staff were dressed up and they were trying to bring you a taste and a flavor of Christmas from yesteryear. And so all of the staff who met the children all asked the same question. But first, they kind of said excitedly about a special guest, a special visitor that was in the folk park that day. And they were asking the kids, do you know who's here today? Who do you think they said? Oh, you're whispering it. Come on, do better. Santa. So Santa was visiting Kultura that day, and all of the staff as well, and Santa himself, asked the kids a question. What do you think the question was? What do you want for Christmas? But also it was kind of a wee bit more reflective. It was tied to what you want for Christmas. Have you been good this year? Okay, and so the kids were well warned before they go in to see Santa, they would be asked this question. You know, it kind of got me thinking, that question and that idea of Santa asking, have you been good this year? And so there's a short video we're going to watch just for a minute or two now that ponders that question. Thanks, guys.
They say there's a big man who lives far away, supposedly jolly, but it's hard to say. I've never seen him and neither have you. But the children believe, and I suppose that'll do. He's known as a loner with many a quirk, no time for a chat, he's embroiled in his work. He keeps to himself for most of the year. I reckon we're grateful he doesn't appear. We send him requests for particular needs, but we never hear back. Who knows if he heeds? We try to be good, give his arm a twist, to merit our place on his blessed little list. And maybe one day, if we do what we should, he'll give us our things just so long as we're good. I've had it to hear. I'm calling his bluff. He's a weird, moralistic dispenser of stuff. Granted, this rant is a strange one to pick, but listen, I'm not really after St. Nick. As strange as he is, and Santa is odd, I'm really addressing most folks' view of God. It's God who we see as some distant big guy, some ancient invisible St. Nick in the sky. He sees you asleep, he knows when you wake, he's watching and waiting to spot your mistake. And just like with Santa, requests we hand in. We want all his things, but we don't want him. That's our connection with old Father Christmas. We might dress it up, it's essentially business. Throughout the year, good behavior's our onus. When Christmas rolls around, we're expecting our bonus. Just leave us our gifts, Nick, we've been good enough. And then please push on, now we've got all your stuff. I mean, Santa is interesting, curious, quirky, but nobody wants him to share their turkey. I'm sure his ho-ho-hos are sublime, but I fear what he'll say once he's drunk our mulled wine. That's old St. Nick, but the picture rings true. It's how we imagine what God is like, too. Christmas resounds with a stunning not-so. The one from on high was born down below. To a world in need he did not send another. God the Son became God our brother. He drew alongside forever to dwell. Our God in the flesh, Emmanuel. This God in the manger upends all our notions. A heavenly stooping, divine demotion. Born in a stable, wriggling on straw, fully committed to life in the raw. Santa gives things and then goes away. Jesus shows up to befriend and to stay. Santa rewards those for good behavior. Jesus draws near to the broken as savior. If you don't like God, I think I know why. You probably think he's St. Nick in the sky. You're right to reject that faraway stranger. This Christmas, look down to the God in the manger.
And so that's what I started to wonder. I wonder, do most people perhaps think of God on par as like a Santa in the sky? And so we've never seen Santa. We never get letters from him. He's a distant big guy who's watching us, like he says, to see if we make a mistake before he decides if we make it onto the good list. If you're going to get the letter that you've written to Santa, if you're going to get what you put on it, or if you're going to get coal. Now, I think coal's a great gift. I mean, the cost of heating your house is dear enough, so anything free is going to help with that. But Santa's interested in good behavior. I'm not going to sing this. There's been enough good singing tonight for me to ruin it now. But you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. And it goes into the third verse. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. And I do wonder, is that our view of God? We give our requests, but we don't want him. If we get our presents, that's great, but we kind of expect him to clear off and leave us with the fun of opening them up. Are people right to think of God as a Saint Nick in the sky? No. No, Jesus draws alongside. Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He is fully committed to getting involved into the nitty-gritty of real everyday life. Jesus draws near to the broken as a savior. If your view of God is a bit like a Santa in the sky, then like the video says, I don't blame you for rejecting him. I don't blame you for not wanting to receive him, not wanting to have stuff to do with him. But this Christmas, we remember God in a manger. We remember that God himself broke into this world, got involved, came, committed, gave it all. And so people give gifts this Christmas. Hopefully, we love to give, we love to receive. You just love the surprises as well. You love the different shapes and sizes of presents, especially whenever I was a kid. The measuring stick was the biggest present. And so as people would come and stick it and you would see the presents under the tree and you saw that one giant box, always wanted and hoped it would be mine. As you grow up, things change perhaps a little bit as well. And maybe the boxes get a little bit smaller, a little bit more expensive as well. But maybe what you're looking for this Christmas, maybe the gift that you're hoping to receive this Christmas, what if it's not gold? What if it's not diamonds? What if, and this actually interests me, girls have no interest in dirt, but yet they like rocks. I don't really understand that. Sorry, Claire, no diamonds for Christmas this year. Maybe some coal, we'll see. But people give presents as a celebration and as a reminder of the wise men who came to worship Jesus and to leave their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They wanted to give to the king. They wanted to pay homage to him. They wanted to recognize him. And they wanted to worship him. And so by giving the gifts, so it is translated into a bit more of a tradition today of sharing gifts one with another. But the gift that I want to focus on tonight is none of those things. It is the gift of Jesus Christ. It is God giving himself, that God the Son became a man. And he gave the world an opportunity. He gave the world an open hand, and in that hand was the opportunity to know God, to find purpose, to find completeness, to find the true epitome of joy and of happiness, to find really what we were made for and what we're searching for. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We're going to read that passage out together now, if you've got a Bible with you, or the verses will be up on screen. It was written 700 years before the birth of Jesus, but it's recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 9. So we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 9, reading from verse 2. And so like I say, this was written 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, but it speaks clearly of him. So Isaiah chapter 9, reading from verse 2, and this is God's letter to you. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. We'll end the reading at the end of verse 7. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. And in man's words, there's no wisdom. There's no power. But in God's word is found life. And so let's just ask him to show us the life in his word. Father, as we've read words that, Lord, are a letter from you to us, we just pray that by your living power that you would reveal and just shine a light into our hearts tonight. Open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see, that we may understand and believe and rejoice and glory in Jesus Christ tonight. We ask it in his name. Amen. And so what we've read out is perhaps a verse that you've already heard a few times. Maybe you've been to the primary school, the secondary school, to hear kids or grandkids in their nativity or in their carol services. And so perhaps it's a verse that you've already heard or you're really familiar with. But we're going to look at this tonight and just see for ourselves just what is the gift? What is God's message to us? Why is Santa not like Jesus? Who is Jesus? And so from verse 2 and 3 that we've read out, and just a different translation of it will be on screen just while I'm talking, that if you get bored of my voice, at least you have something useful that you can look to. But we read about people walking in darkness and living in the shadow of death. Many of us know that shadow. Many of us know that experience. And if not, in due time, it'll come. It's the deep sadness of that empty chair this Christmas. Talking to a few folk during the week, for one gentleman, sadly, it's been 23 years since the passing of his wife. And again, he mentioned just that each year the sadness of that empty chair is a burden and is something that just grips him. It's missing those who are no longer with us. It's perhaps the pain of loneliness or just emptiness. It maybe leads us to wonder just what is the purpose or point of this life. It leads us to maybe question what comes after this life. That is the darkness. That is the valley of the shadow of death. But the light was coming. The light was coming for the people. And the verse goes on, it says the light would shine on those people, but it talks about the hard work of harvesting the crops would finish and a feast would come. Celebration was coming. The hard work, the toil, the difficulty, the sweat, blood and tears would come to an end. The harvest would be finished with a feast. It'd be finished with a celebration. Or it pictures it a bit like warriors rejoicing in their victory as well, dividing up the spoil. And so it starts to give us this idea, this picture of what the light would bring. Verses 4 to 5, it goes on to talk about the slavery to death and sin that the mankind was under would be broken. That they would be set free from that heavy burden that just weighs us. The military uniforms, they'd be burnt. The war would be over. Victory would be complete. Peace would come. No enemy of good or no wickedness, no oppression or pain will triumph. Living in the shadow of eternal death and separation from God, pain, oppression, slavery to sin, all of these things would be overcome and would be defeated. And verse 6 tells us why. For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born. The Son is given to us. This is a gift. And so all that we've heard so far, all that we've heard about how the war will end, oppression will end, slavery will be no more, the hardness, the toil, the darkness of life will come to an end. For unto us a child is given. It's the reason, it's the revealed reason, and it's the promise of God for hope for people who live in a land of great darkness. It's a promise of joy. It's a promise of joy that speaks into whatever valley of darkness that we're in. It's a promise of hope that cannot be broken. It's not a promise that might come to pass. God is able and willing to end the darkness and the war and the destruction and the loss and the separation and the pain that mankind knows. And it's all wrapped up in the birth of a child. It's all wrapped up in the gift of the Son being given. Because this child being born would be the Savior. This child being born would be God's chosen King, the rescuer of mankind. Well, the one who was mentioned as far back as Genesis 3, if we think that, oh, well, the New Testament, that's about Jesus, and the Old Testament, that's about all this weird stuff. Now, as far back as Genesis 3, there's a promise made that someone would come. God's anointed person, God's chosen person, the Christ, would come and would deal with darkness, would bring hope, and would bring life. And the Savior who God promised, it could have been an angel, theoretically. It could have been God as just a spirit being come. What took the world by surprise was that when the Savior came, when the Son was given, it was God Himself taking on flesh. God Himself, God the Son, becoming a man. Born in a manger as a human, as a little baby with no teeth, who needed everything to be done for him. The God who created the world, the universe, and everything, and holds it together by His power, willingly stepped down from heaven to become a child, to become like us. He didn't even come as a grown man. He chose to come in mankind's weakest form, that of a little child. The same way as you were brought into this world, the same way as I was brought into this world, is the same way that God the Son came into this world. Jesus added a human nature to His divine nature. Now, it wouldn't be the same as what you and I have. It wouldn't have that sin factory in our heart that just rejects God and rebels against Him and wants to put ourselves on the throne, and it, you know, just overflows with anger and with pride and with murder and hatred and bitterness and envy and jealousy. No, but Jesus took on the humanity, the type that Adam and Eve had, the perfect, sinless type, before Adam and Eve rejected God and embraced sin. But I want to pick out just a few of the titles that Jesus is given in this verse. How can we know more about God? How is He not a distant stranger? Because He reveals Himself fully to us in Jesus Christ. And so here in these verses, we have some of His titles. He will be called Wonderful. The glory of who Jesus is and what He's done for us, when we rightly understand it, should fill us with wonder. I know this word's used a lot, awesome. I prefer to keep that for something that really does fill us with awe. And so wonderful, the awesomeness of Jesus is the beginning point that we're taught here. That you can never think that you're at peace with God. You can never think that you'll be accepted by Him if you haven't first stood in wonder and awe before Jesus Christ. He is the Counselor, the one who not just tells you about the way to peace with God, but He Himself became the way of peace. He didn't just point to a door at the back and say, that's where you need to go. He became the door. He bridged the gap that no one else could in order that we could be forgiven by God, in order that we could be accepted by Him and know Him. Adam and Eve, they took their advice, they took their counsel from Satan. Satan told them that God doesn't have your best interests at heart. And they believed him. They took their counsel from someone whose interests was to destroy them. But Jesus is our counselor who gives not the words of death, but He gives us the counsel of life. He gives us the truth. He gives us the reality. He gives us the way to life and the way to heaven through Himself. Jesus is the mighty God. He is the creator and ruler of the universe. He is the one for whom you and I were made and created for. You and I were made and created that we would know him, but we would worship him. We do try to fill it with stuff. We do try to fill that void with careers, or we try to fill that emptiness even with family or with achievement or with various things, but it's a God-shaped hole in our hearts. And it's only when we come to know him as mighty God that we actually find the fulfillment and the filling of that hole in our heart. Here's one that maybe I'd always wondered about. He is the everlasting Father. And I'd always thought, Father, isn't God the Father? Why is Jesus being called the everlasting Father? It's not that he's God the Father, but it is that he is the source. He is the patriarch, the beginning of creation. He is the ruler of the universe and of life itself. And here's a favorite. He is the Prince of Peace. The only one who can make peace between Almighty God and the rebellious human race that was just set out to oppose God. His reign will never end. And so rejecting Jesus in this life will mean rejecting his reign forever. But we have a message of hope tonight. We have a message of joy tonight. And it is that the most amazing gift to celebrate, the most amazing gift to enjoy and to receive this Christmas is the gift of God giving himself to you and to me. The gift isn't stuff. The gift is a person in Christ Jesus. Jesus stays with us. Jesus walks with us. He leads us. He guides us. He doesn't want to be distant. He wants to be there with us. He wants to enjoy laughter and love and relationship with us. He doesn't want to be distant, and he doesn't want to leave us in the land of darkness. And so he enters the land of darkness himself in order that he could lead people out of it. He wants to lead us out of the shadow of death. He wants to lead us into a land of life and of joy. He doesn't wash his hands of the brokenness. He doesn't just kind of say, well, I've been keeping tabs on you this year and you've kind of been good enough. I know there's been difficult moments in your life, but hey, I don't want anything to do with that. No, Jesus doesn't wash his hands of the brokenness of this world. He goes to work to fix it, to heal it, to restore it to what it's meant to be. He doesn't just remain positive and say, yep, I know there's difficulties out there, but just focus on the good. You know, ignore that other stuff. Just, you know, if it's dark winter's day, just think of the nice snow and how pretty it is. He doesn't try to find wee things of distraction. He fully recognizes the brokenness. He fully recognizes the darkness. But he steps into our world as a person to take the darkness onto himself, to deal with it, to lift us up out of it. And he does everything for us, on behalf of us, for our good. He leads a victorious march of his followers out of the land of darkness. He brings us to God the Father. And when this world ends and a new one is made, there those people will live with God forever in the light. That's the good news of great joy that the angels proclaimed. That's the message of great tidings this Christmas season. It is that Jesus entered the world of darkness in order to bring people out of it. And so I'm nearly finished, but for believers here tonight, for Christians here tonight, perhaps the recent days have been tough. It doesn't take you to talk to too many people just to realize perhaps some of the heartbreaking situations that are going on. Perhaps just the stress and the busyness of the season has just drained you spiritually. You just feel weak or empty. You feel spiritually worn out. Maybe it's a family situation that has just felt like the weight of the world has just been dropped onto your shoulders and you don't know what to do. But unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And so as you first trusted in Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, so trust and rest in Jesus in the week ahead. So have your faith in him in whatever that circumstance is. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're feeling this week, just come as you did that first day that you got saved, just come in faith before Jesus and recognize that the weight of the world was on his shoulders. He is the Prince of Peace, and he is closer than a brother to you. If we accept that and we just ask and then receive, just take his comfort this week in that difficulty, in that pain, in that sorrow. Take his comfort and take his refreshment. Take his light into your darkness this week. And so just in finishing up, like every gift that you're going to receive next Sunday, you have to receive it. You actually have to receive a gift by emptying your hands, and whoever's given it to you, you have to put your hands out and you have to take it and you have to hold on to it. And so you're going to have to actually receive the gift of the Son. Christmas is about realizing that God gives us himself. So how do we receive it? How do we receive and accept Christ? It's not like getting a wrapped up present. It's more like a battlefield. It's more like realizing that you're fighting against God. It's more like realizing that actually you're the one in rebellion. It's like realizing that you've got a weapon in your hand and you're firing at it. A perfect one, a just one, someone who loves you. And so receiving the gift of the Son this year will look more like setting your weapons down and surrendering. But what you find in that moment when you surrender to God is that God is not someone who's wanting you to wave your white flag so that he can lock you up, so that he can give you punishment for your rebellion against him, for fighting against him. No, what you'll find is that through the gift of the Son, what you find is a God who forgives you and who welcomes you and just says, surrender to me, accept, receive the gift of the Son, believe in him, and I will give you beyond your imagination. I'll give you myself, and you will not be disappointed. You will never be disappointed. In fact, he promises us that no mind can imagine the good that God has stored up for us. No mind can really fathom what our eternal home in heaven with God will be like, because God makes a new home. And he brings it down to people who've surrendered to him. And there he invites us into his home. And forever we live not in a land under the shadow of darkness, but in a land of light. You just got to put your arms down and surrender. To receive and believe that he is the Prince of Peace. That he is wonderful. And Counselor, the Mighty God. This Christmas, you'll know peace and joy and celebration. In fact, you'll know everlasting life if you receive and believe in the gift of the Son. For unto us a Son is given, and his name is Jesus. Let me pray for us just before we sing our closing hymn. Father God, we thank you for the gift of the Son. We thank you that for unto us Jesus is given. Lord, a people and a race who took up arms against you, who tried to overthrow you foolishly, who rejected your goodness, and Lord, yet your grace and your mercy is still here. It's still, Father, on offer. And Lord, just for those who are facing difficulties and sadness and sorrow in the week ahead, perhaps remembering those who are no longer with us, Lord, we recognize that we live in a land under the shadow of death. But thank you that Jesus came into that land. He became one of us to conquer. We thank you, Lord, that the war will end. Injustice, Lord, sorrow, sadness, tears, pain, sin will end. Father, the war will be no more. Instead, there will be feasting and celebration and light. Father, I ask just that you would encourage your children in this place. Help us, Father, to be uplifted as we look to the Son. Help, Father, those to who are still fighting against you to recognize the truth and the light that is found in the greatest gift of all, in Jesus Christ. We just thank you for the gift of the Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing hymn, before you have the opportunity to go over to the hall for supper, is one which we'll stand and sing. It is one of the anthems of the carol list, and it is O Holy Night. And so we'll stand and sing this closing hymn. Thank you. We do thank you for the Son that was given. We do thank you for that night of darkness when the Son stepped in to bring light. Father, we do just pray, Lord, that we would know your presence with us in the week ahead. Pray, Lord, that our minds would remain focused on our Savior, on the King Jesus. And Lord, just that we would have a blessed time with friends and with family. And Lord, you just take us our way in safety, we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.